This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
So, in the late 1970s, the Chicago Sun-Times bought a bar, a newspaper in Chicago, bought a bar and set it up with some microphones and cameras and decided to see what would happen as city inspectors came in. And Jasmine, they ended up with a pretty interesting investigation, didn't they?
Yeah, they ended up with a 25-part series where they uncovered people taking bribes under the table. The interesting thing was they staffed it with all of the newspaper reporters. So the bartenders, the waitresses, everyone was working for the paper, and which raises a lot of ethical questions. First of all, you're not disclosing you're a journalist when you're working at this bar. The paper owns it to begin with. You'll never see this kind of thing happen again. But
you know,
it happened in the 70s.
I would bet there are a lot of journalists, especially in small markets, who have to work as bartenders mm-hmm. or waiters or waitresses on the side because they don't make enough money.
Yeah.
And so do they need to disclose to everyone they serve that they are also a journalist?
Well, in this case, they were doing this to get stories. You know, it's not like they were just doing it on the side for money. They were doing this to uncover things that were happening within the city. And
they were also working as bartenders and waitstaff.
Yeah, I guess so. But the goal behind it was that they were going to get some information out of people and find things out. And that's exactly what they did. So it was a ruse. I mean, they were, you know, bartending, obviously, but they were there to catch people do things.
You know, when I think of this, I think of one of the most important things I learned as a reporter, a daily reporter, is to always go to lunch. And go to lunch means this is where you find things out. I used to go to a particular place that was near the newsroom, and it was near City Hall, and sometimes you would see local lawmakers, the police chief, the mayor, and you would find things out. Yeah, we were there just to have lunch. We were just there to, you know, in between the morning and the afternoon. But actually, I was kind of on duty. Sometimes you found things out at lunch. That's why I went to lunch.
So you say you found things out. How? Mm-hmm. Would you overhear things? Would you interview someone? Would you find things out based on who you saw having lunch with who?
It's based on eating with other colleagues who maybe heard something that pertains to my beat and my particular interest. I remember one time we had a representative from Congress. He was from my hometown there in that city, and they were in recess, and he happened to be there, and we were just chatting. But chatter and social conversation leads to maybe some particular questions, and you kind of have a rapport with these people, and they'll volunteer some information, and they might tell you it off the record, they might tell you it off background, but This was very useful, and I can see what this ploy or this setup that the Chicago Sun-Times did. It was really not any more innocent than just going to lunch or going to a social occasion. When I was a business reporter, I went to we had business after hours or these mixers, and I wasn't there just to hobnob. I was more or less there to also find out information and. Sometimes I found things out, sometimes I didn't. So I would chalk this up as a legitimate way to find out information. And, you know, if you have it on the record and if you have it where it's the truth and you're taking a risk when you're not exactly, you know, being up front, being a reporter all the time. But I think this is something that is legitimate.
You think the end justifies the means. You think there's no ethical line crossed here.
It can potentially, but, you know, if you have something that, you know, if you're not repeating rumor and hearsay and you're verifying it and you're worth your salt and you're doing your job, I think it's very useful and legitimate.
But Ben Bradley, so he was the executive editor of the Washington Post, who is prominently featured within the Post, the movie, which we have spoken about before.
And he's also the editor during the Post coverage of Watergate.
Right, yeah. So he successfully argued against those stories that came out of this whole operation from winning the Pulitzer Prize. because of the undercover tactics they used to expose the corruption. So although they exposed the corruption, he successfully argued against them being recognized for their work because of the ethical questions.
Well, and this coming from the gentleman who eventually had to be talked and coerced into accepting sources from a gentleman known as Deep Throat, and mm-hmm. you know, all that history and so forth. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that, if I was Ben Bradley, an editor of the publisher, and on the surface, I see this is what we're using to rely on for sources. Yes, I'm getting involved and I'm questioning it to the hilt. Sure, absolutely. But if I'm not completely ruling it out though either. So on the surface, my response would be let's pump the brake and let's look this over. Certainly, I can understand that. But I think if something is consciously and thoroughly done and done well for the sake of getting information and verifying it and vetting it to the hilt, I think it is very useful. It doesn't mean that we're automatically going to publish or broadcast what we find out. It means that we're just doing some fact finding. And again, I go back to my example of going to lunch. I didn't go to lunch just to feed myself. I went out to sometimes find things out, and once in a while I did.
Do you think it's a little hypocritical that Bradley said what he did, prevented the Pulitzer Prize, and then did things later that were very, very similar?
I'm surprised by his response, given the given his place in history and what he was able to do with an anonymous source. So mm-hmm. I think that's interesting. But I think he probably had his reasons.
I can certainly understand the ethical qualms, but I certainly enjoy reading this type of story mm-hmm. too.
Sure.
There was recently an article about this in Columbia Journalism Review, and just reading about what these reporters did, what this newspaper did, it's an enjoyable yarn if
sure.
nothing else.
Absolutely, but I definitely wouldn't condone you know testing your ethics. I mean, we're nothing without ethics. We're nothing without having a measure of ethics and morality in our reporting, but I'm just saying this is something that can't be ruled out. And if you're working in the Beltway, you're working in D.C., I mean, you know, there's stories come out from anonymous sources or sources say all the time, we wouldn't have any reporting, wouldn't find out anything if it wasn't for relying on these sources and, of course, being properly vetted and clarified and verified.
And as long as I suppose the reporters were not trying to entrap the city inspectors, if the inspectors were coming up to the bar owner or bartender, the manager, whoever, and saying, hey, you've got a plumbing or an electrical wiring issue here, and it's going to be pretty expensive to fix, and we can overlook that for a little money here. If you're not trying to entrap them and the inspector is offering to do this for a bribe, I think that's a story, isn't it?
And I'll add to that, I don't have a problem with if a reporter's on the field and a contractor, that kind of issue comes up, and they report, well, this actually happened, because it did happen. This is the firsthand account where someone approached someone, happened to be a reporter, and did this. And if you can report that and you have that firsthand account, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.